It's Christian's aunt, by the way. We've been wanting her to do announcements forever. We're like, let's do it. All right, awesome. Can we get some lights on in the house? There we go, Brian. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Hey, well, welcome out to Trailhead Church, and I'm Josh, and along with my wife, Anna, we pastor the church, and if you are new with us this morning, we're so blessed to have you. Stick around, ask questions, find out more about Trailhead, and, you know, we really want to see people find their place called there, that place where they are being fed, where they are meeting just people and individuals who, like I said earlier, are like-minded, those individuals where we can have community with one another. It's so important that we don't just take for granted the idea that it's just church on Sunday mornings. It's more than that. It's a community of believers that we're here for one another, and that on top of that, we have a goal. We have a mission as the church, and we need to know what that is. And so that's where I would say, hey, you find out if Trailhead's that church. Now, for some of us in this room, you get kind of caught up into the ideas of what man has as far as, likes and dislikes, and the idea of like, I like that style of music. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you are in search for a unicorn, you're going to be sadly disappointed. I think they all died a long time ago. And no, there is no perfect church out there, just like there is no perfect people. So just be careful that if you are in search for a particular church, I pray that you find it. But just know that there's always going to be moments where you'll go, that's weird. There's going to be some things that you are like, why do they do that? I don't know. I don't know why we put David in a cage and then we just stare at him from a distance. It happens. You know, there's just certain things that take place in church. You'll go, why is that the way it is? I don't know. Why did we put a church in a warehouse? I don't know. So, I mean, you know, there's just things that happen. So just know that that's what happens. It's church. It's what it's about. So stick around. Find out more about the church. Don't run off. And if you're watching online, we're so blessed to have you as well. Make sure that you don't just stay online. Come out here in person. We'd love to visit and meet with you as well. Okay. Now, Matthew chapter 18, verses 19. Turn your Bibles there. As you turn there, what is today's message all about? Most churches have a Vision Sunday. I don't have a Vision Sunday. I'm a really weird pastor. A lot of times my staff will be like, hey, it's such and such holiday weekend. What are we doing? And I'm like, nothing. I don't think about holidays. I'm not on social media. I'm not a big fan of social media. So not you can be on social media. That's fine. But I'm not, and so there's a lot of things I'm unaware of that are happening. I don't watch the news. I don't know anything that's going on. People will be like, did you hear what happened in the news? I'm like, no idea. Like, no clue. I'm completely disconnected, 100% disconnected. So what I'm trying to say is I don't do things like normal pastors do. So I don't have like a Vision Sunday because I just want to think that every Sunday is a Vision Sunday. And therefore, this every Sunday. If you're wanting to know what's coming up within the church here the next 2 weeks, we're going to talk about the book of Titus. I love the book of Titus. I feel like it's important as we as individuals get our ducks in a row and that we get ourselves into a position where we can hear from God. I believe there is a getting into a position to hear from God. Some people, you're like, yeah, I can hear from God wherever I'm at. And I'm like, you can. But sometimes you've got some distractions you need to pluck out. And those are the things that are coming up in the next 2 weeks. I want to celebrate the church this morning and just to kind of give you a good synopsis of what we should be doing and to kind of get ourselves back in alignment to say, yeah, that's what we're supposed to do. Because a lot of people have this notion of what church is all about. We were playing a game the other night, and my daughter, she didn't know what tithing was. And she's young. She's in elementary. And so she goes, I just thought all of the money went to Thailand. I swear, that's exactly what happened. She goes, and then someone told me it didn't. And I look at her, and I go, oh, sweetie. I said, well, do you know that I get paid from the offerings as well? Meaning, like, I have a board. There's a board who sets a pay. And she was like, you get paid? And I go, it's actually in the Old Testament. Like, I felt like I was talking to one of those church police people. But, like, pastor only cares about what comes in the offering because that's how he gets paid. And I was like, I'm talking to a 10-year-old, and I'm like, listen, sweetie, this is how it happens. I have a board. The board sets my pay. So that's how you have clothes. That's how I have clothes? Oh, my Lord. I go, yeah, baby, it's okay. I said, listen, in the Old Testament, there was priests. The priests would receive the sacrificial offerings, and they got a portion of that meat to take home and to feed their family. I said, that's why you get fed? I said, do you understand? I said, but then there's lights that have to get paid. There's all sorts of things. I said, I was like, I was doing everything to have her understand of like, it's okay. I said, and I said, but we minister the gospel. I said, we teach little children, and we teach our students, our young adults. We've got all of these different like avenues of what we're doing. And I was explaining to her, and so she like wiped her tears. And she said, okay. And I was like, but we do send money to Thailand. And it was so dramatic. So anyway. All that to say is we're going to talk about the church this morning, because I don't want anybody misaligned, okay? I want us all in together and understanding that this is what the church does. And I do hope, Pastor Stephen and I, our worship pastor, we were talking this past week, and I teared up with him. I always tear up, but I teared up with him, and I said, I want people to understand my heart. My heart as your pastor is to see people saved. My agenda is never about money. It's not about the idea of any type of manly. I'll get to that in a second. But it's by no way man's traditions is what I'll get to in a second. But it's not about those things. It's not about becoming an entity where whatever. I don't know. All these weird things. Again, I'm not on social media, but I hear about some pastors and you go, oh, and I hear about churches and you hear about those things. And a lot of times it blemishes the whole church. And it's like, that's not the case. And for me personally, my wife and I, we moved down here from West Virginia 14 years ago, going on 15. And in this, we really just want to see people saved. We want to have a heart for revival sparked in people's lives. We want to see families who put Jesus first. We want to see people have breakthroughs, and when they're going through troubled times, for them to know that God didn't abandon them, that God is with them, that God is for them. That's our motivation, and that's what this is all about. We want our own children to grow up in a house, our Father's house, to be fed and to know in life decisions that they need to seek God first in all that they do. And in doing so, it's important that they understand the stories of the Bible and the morality of it. That's the purpose of what we're doing and why we do it. I have no hidden agendas. There is nothing secretive about our church. You can ask anything at any time. If you would like to talk to me about things and you have a pure motive yourself, because there are church police out there. Church police are special. I mean, we've got a Google review that tells us we don't have enough crosses in our church. And I was like, I have a friend I graduated with, and he works for Google. He's high up in Google. And I said, can you remove a review? And he said, hold on. He goes, are you telling me that someone reviewed your church? He said, you can review churches? And I said, how high up are you? I was like, dude, this is what us people are fighting you Google people about. Remove the reviews. He said, I can't do that. It's like, I love the cross. And I mean, I've got crosses, but I also know that my God's not on that cross anymore. So it's like, I can, to fill up a place with a bunch of crosses, that doesn't make me a Christian, you know? And it's like, I don't, you know, so a lot of people get really hung up on that. It's like they want a bunch of dead Jesuses hanging on walls, and I'm just like, my Jesus is alive. Just like, I know I'm going on a tangent. My wife's like, get going, because, you know, if we're going to put the cross up everywhere, we need to put the round circles up everywhere. You're like, what's a round circle? The tomb. Like, you don't see tombs everywhere. It's like with the, like, half crescent moon, you know, and it's like, I don't know. Matthew 18, 19 through 20. I also tell you this, if two of you agree here on earth concerning anything you ask, my Father in heaven will do it for you. For where two or three gather together as my followers, I am there among them. Guys, Noah, how beautiful is this? To know that God wants to bless those individuals that come together in his name, that he's saying, hey, when you come together, this is beautiful. Now, prior to that, you're going to see in chapter, in this chapter, you'll see that in, prior to that, in chapter 18, you see Matthew chapter 16, this beautiful story of Peter. Now, pay attention to everything I'm about to say, because I'm going to talk about a doctrinal statement here in just a second, but then I'm going to move past to really my motivation for this morning. But in Matthew 16, verses 15 through 18, it says, then he asked them, but who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, you are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being. Now I say to you that you are Peter. In many translations, you'll see it says, which means rock. Peter, his name means rock. And so you'll see that in some translations, a parenthesis or an asterisk that will tell you to scroll down and see what that means. And upon this rock, I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. Now, you can't just take this and read it and go, oh, yeah, that's great. No, it's more than that, because the doctrinally speaking, people have run and created religions with this, okay? And that statement is not true, because in the Greek, you see that Paul actually means a stone, Petros, okay? But when he talks about the rock, he's saying actually Petra, which is a large mass. All right. This is not the notion of Catholicism, where this is where Catholicism started, because they created this notion that Peter was the rock, and therefore all the popes come from this lineage of this holiness of Peter. And that can go down a whole nother path, and we don't have time for that this morning. But you cannot understand that scripture based upon just the parentheses and going, oh, yeah, Peter, the rock, and that's where he's going to start. No, no, no. The rock and the foundation is Jesus. Actually, matter of fact, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, Peter goes on to say this. This is important. For God called you to do good, even if it means suffering. Just as Christ suffered for you, he is your example. He is your example. Peter is not your example. Okay, so Jesus is the rock. He is the example, and you must follow in his steps. If Peter would have said it, he would have been like, follow me. Now, Paul does go on to say, hey, you can trust in what I'm doing because I'm following him, but that's not in the same way of the stone and the rock and the pebble and all those types of the Greek and the definitions here. So it's important you just understand that Peter is pointing and saying, it's Jesus. Jesus is the rock. I'm not the rock. Jesus is the firm foundation. He's where we go to. This is why we do what we do. So the most significant point we can learn from Matthew 16 is not about Peter. It's that Jesus is building a church. That's the most important thing. That he said he was going to build a church. He is building his church. He did it, and he's still doing it to this day. And what's the importance of the church is where we should always be our focus, okay? So Jesus talks about the church in different ways. He actually layers it with thought towards it being almost a governmental style. He's actually looking at the Roman government, and he's actually seeing how this works. The marketplace, he's seeing how the marketplace works. And he actually describes the church in ecclesia, in a term that talks about a gathering of citizens called out from their homes into a public place, a gathering, an assembly, and working in unity with one another. And that's why you see all the verbiage of the body of Christ. You'll see the importance of how we are to act as the body of Christ, the fruits of the Spirit, putting on the armor of God, all the importance in the layers of this. It's beautiful. And so reason why I'm telling you all of this is because this man-made church at times have gotten off track. And Paul, that's why he wrote all these different letters. So all the letters, the Corinth and Ephesus and all these different, you know, towns and countrysides, and to individuals, he's saying, hey, it's so important that you don't follow these people. They got way off track. And even the letter that we're going to talk about next week with Titus, I mean, Titus is on an island, Crete, and these people, Cretans, were Cretans. That's where we kind of get it from. And so this real, you know, piratey type of folks, and they're rough. They were old soldiers. They were still some merchant. They were soldiers still to that moment. And so here's Titus. And I can't imagine Paul telling Titus, Titus, you're going to go to Crete. And he's like, I might die tomorrow, you know. And so, but all that to say that there is a real beautiful picture, if you're able to see it all laid out, of what Jesus is doing about the church, that he's building this church, and that he doesn't need just a bunch of Steve Duncans. Like, he doesn't need just one Rob, or sorry, he doesn't need like 100 Robs, he needs Rob. And he needs these people to unite to be the church and to do some great, magnificent things. And it's really, really important that you grab a hold of this and you realize that it's, because see, what the Catholic Church did, man, I don't want to go down this path. I have a lot of family members that are Catholic, and they like to watch me. And so, understand, some of you come from the Catholic faith, and so what's funny is Ann and I are doing our ancestry, and you see all these people running from England, and the reason why they're running from England is because of religious persecution, and that's why we come here to America, and now we're persecuting Christians here in America. It's so weird how it all works. But anyway, so they're running from this Catholic Church and the strongholds of the church, and it's this notion that only the priests, only those people, the men of the cloth, they have the connection to God only. And therefore, what God tells them in their chambers is what you get to hear. And that's not what Jesus came to do. And Jesus came to from this vessel, to really just point and to guide and to direct. But it was never for this notion of dictatorship. And it's not for me to tell. Because there's bad church history. The notion that there was pastors that were telling people if they could get married or not, or who they could get married to. There was arrangements to that. They had all sorts of ways to tell you if you were saved or not saved. You need to give more money to be more saved. I mean, there was crazy, crazy things that took place in the history books of the church. And you got to break free from that. But when it comes to the Catholic Church and what took place here, you'll see that Jesus, he's calling all of us. He's calling every one of us to step out into this world and to begin to identify ourselves with Jesus written on our hearts. He's calling each one of us out. Not the, like, That's why it's funny, because a lot of times in these religions like Catholicism, you'll have this idea of like, I can be who I want, do what I want, but you know, when it comes to my relationship with Jesus, it depends upon really with my priest, and that priest connection is his connection to our Father in heaven. And you just go and you say a few different Hail Marys and you do what you need to do, confess ever so often, and you're right with God and you move on. And that's when you read Martin Luther and you understand all of the context of the history of the church and you realize, oh my goodness, that's not how this works. It's every second of the day. It's every moment of how we live out our life, our faith in Christ Jesus every single day. This is a devotion. Not all Catholics are like this, by the way. And I so even told myself, don't talk about Catholicism. And because some of you come from this background, some of you are, you know, you're like, whoa, don't talk bad about Catholicism. I can talk bad about non-denominational churches as well. I mean, so I can talk about it all day long. Because again, non-denominational churches can get really far off into more of a man-made community, not a spiritual community. And so there's all sorts of things. All right, back to this. Back to my point at hand. My point at hand is, I want us to realize we have a relationship and a connection to our Father in heaven because of Jesus Christ. Jesus has given us the mandate. He's given us the blueprint through his word for us to follow in order to have that connection to him. That connection to him is not based upon a relationship with a man. That would be me, your pastor. But it's the notion of saying, I have a relationship with my Father in heaven. And when I come in here on church on Sunday or whenever we have church, when the doors are open, you should not be getting you should not be fully fed because of this guy right here. You need to be fed because you've been in the Word of God throughout the week. And all I'm doing, if anything, is just reinstating what God's already told you. So hopefully I'm not your refrigerator. That I open myself on Sunday and that's the only time you get fed. Okay, I can't be that, okay? I will fail you, and that's why people get really upset in the church. They get real upset real fast because they treat me like I'm their pantry, their refrigerator, and only on Sunday is when they get fed. And that's not the case, okay? I'm just an extra, I'm your cooler. Treat me like your cooler. I'm your weekend cooler, all right? Like, that's it. Like, that's who I am. All right, sweet. But I'm a Yeti, though. I'm real cool and slick looking. Like I last a long time. I'm not an old cheap igloo. I'm a Yeti. All right, good. That went down a real weird path. Here we go. Okay, according to the Bible, Jesus' church would be, should be, a church that teaches and strives to live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Period. This is Matthew chapter 4:4. In other words, a church that bases its teaching solely on the Bible, not the traditions of man, and traditions of men as you find in Mark chapter 7, but this is where a church is based upon this teaching, that this is what matters, right here, from the front to the back, okay? That's what matters. Now, the second thing that, according to the Bible, Jesus' church would be is a church that strives to preach the gospel of the kingdom to the whole world, all right? The whole world, that we are striving to do this, no matter where we are. I have a statement back here in our offices on the wall that says, every day you should say these words, do you want to go to church with me? Every day you should be thinking, do you want to go to church with me? Do you want to go to church with me? Every day you should invite somebody, hey, do you want to go to church with me? Why? Because you know the importance of church. Not an event on Sunday, but the church. That what we're doing as a church, this is what's so important. So let me give you some stories here. So, 20 years ago, I went on a hiking trip. And on a hiking trip, I really sought after what I was young. I was young, and I think I was 22 at the time, 23 maybe. And I was trying to figure out just life in general. I went on this hiking trip with a bunch of buddies, and I said, God, just talk to me. That's all. I just want to hear your voice. And so in that moment, I realized that I was supposed to marry Anna. I learned that on that trip. I thought, you know, God, I'm supposed to marry Anna. I went back and I found Anna, and I knew where she lived. I just went to her house and I told her, I said, I love you and I want to be with you. And then she dumped me a few weeks later because that was scary. She was like, you know, she was scared, so she dumped me. But then she took me back, and so she's never dumped me since. She's wanted to, but she has not. But she took me back. And so then on that trip, I knew that I was supposed to take other people on this trip. And so I went multiple times. So as a college pastor, I'd take people on a trip out west, and we would hike in California, and then we'd hike in the Grand Canyon. So one of the trips I took, a good friend of mine, his name's Joey, and so we went. And prior to going, we fasted for four and a half months. We were fasting. And so we were fasting, and I told everybody, I said, everybody's going on this trip. I said, we're going to fast, and here's why I'm fasting. I told them why I was fasting. I said, I'm fasting because I want to hear God's voice. I said, I want to hear God's audible voice. I said, I know that's audacious to ask because, you know, God's voice doesn't be heard by a lot of, you know, only a handful of people in the Bible actually heard God's voice. So I was like, I want to hear God's audible voice. So prior to going, my wife and I had already discussed about wanting to plant a church, how to plant a church. And so I remember putting a fleece out. Anybody know what a fleece is? That's a term that Gideon used in the Old Testament. And a lot of people are like, fleeces are scary. And so I'm not going to get down that road to teach you about fleeces this morning because is there a time and a place for a fleece? I will say yes. But a fleece is not used every single day. Okay. A fleece is where you would say, God, if you do this, I'll do that. All right? Whew. Be careful. Fleeces are dangerous. Okay? All right. That's a side note. But I put out a fleece, basically, to say, God, if you bring in $10,000, then I will know that my wife and I are supposed to start this church. That's when I receive a $10,000 check, we will go start a church. And how stupid are we? $10,000, that was going to buy a lot. And so I don't know what I was thinking. So I'm hiking, and I'm with Joey, and Joey also wanted to hear God's audible voice. And so as we're hiking, and I didn't really know that about Joey. Joey had kind of put that in his heart. And so as we're walking, Joey was a worship pastor. He was leading worship, but not yet a worship pastor at a church. And so we're hiking. So Joey is dying inside, dehydration dying inside. And so he dies, kind of. And so he falls down to the ground. He's like, and he yells out, Josh, I can't go any further without you. And I turned around and I said, Joey, get off your lazy butt. You can do it. It was a few days later that we realized that we heard God's audible voice through each other. It was really one of those moments that we looked at each other face to face and we realized we heard God. Because we asked, I really wanted to hear God's audible voice. And Joey's like, I wanted to hear God's audible voice. And then we realized we did hear God's audible voice. And I was putting so much, basically, laziness into my fleece and my prayer life of God moves first, you know. This crazy, pretentious type of attitude of like, God, you move, then I will. Like, this crazy notion. But it was like, I can't go any further without you. And in that moment, I realized I need to take the first step. I need to do this, that I need to realize that as I step out in faith, God's foundation is firm. As I step out in faith, he creates the firm foundation. And so I'm stepping out in faith. So I went back and Ann and I are like, okay, it's time. It's time for us to put real effort into leaving and doing what we need to do and make those efforts. And so we began, Morgan just laughed because she knows what I'm about to say. I sold my 1966 Volkswagen bus that I had just restored completely. It was beautiful. I had shag carpet and hardwood floors. I was just about to put in a skateboard back seat, bench seat in the back. I was, oh man. When I went to go sell it, I cried. Anna had to drive. She goes, are you really? I said, yeah, you have to drive. And I put my face up against the glass of our car. As we drove away, I still miss that bus, if you can't tell. But we made efforts in our lives to position ourselves to be able to move. So to sell the bus paid for the things we needed to do to get ourselves to sell our home and to pay off some things and whatever. So we positioned ourselves, and so we started moving. Then we declared it. We went to her parents, and we said, hey, we're going to go start a church. We're going to go do this. And so then we went to a few of the staff now, which would be Jeremy McKnight and Dave DeBlaycourt and Adam Davis, and we said, hey, we're going to go start a church in North Carolina. And they were like, we want to go too. And I was like, amazing. So we started doing all of these preparations. And then one day I get a phone call from someone that says, hey, can you pick me up for church? And I said, sure. And so I went over to their house to pick them up, and they asked me to come in. It was really weird, and they said, hey, I've got something in an envelope. Would you mind, let's pray over this envelope? They were very vague. You could tell it was awkward for them as well. They didn't really explain what was happening. And so then I just took this envelope thinking it was just like a thank you card. I don't know what it was. And so I just put it in the side of my door of my car and drove to church, get home. We're at home for a few hours, and Anna goes, What? Why did such and such ask you to come over and pick him up? And I go, oh, yeah, we prayed over this envelope. I don't even know what in the world. So I ran out in the car. I came in, and it was a check for $10,000. And I go, that's crazy, right? Because it was one of those notions, like, this is a dollar figure that's, you know. So I knew in that moment that God takes care of everything. When you put him first and you take that step of faith out, that changes it. So I have a new number in my head right now. I'm not going to tell you what that is. And I'm not asking you to be like, come over to my house and pick me up for church. But I know what we're supposed to do as a church. Okay? So we have a lot of space down here that we still need to renovate and to do. And we want to plant churches as well out in other communities, and we want to do some things. And so there's a lot of things that are happening, and so we're trying to get ourselves in position. I can't just tell you everything right now because I don't want to give you hopes of something and we switch it up because it's not, can't happen. So just know that we are working towards some other things within our church that we're getting ready to do. And I'm not trying to hide it from you. I just don't want to disappoint. I don't want to set you up for you to be like, you're going to do this or whatever. And it's like, I can't do that. But understand, though, that we're praying about this and we are making every effort moving forward. But I also know that this new number that's in my head, that God will provide and take care of those things. And so that's where I say, God, this is it. I'm dreaming so big that it's destined to fail without divine intervention. So I'm believing for God to come in and move and take care of these things. So I got to present those requests and make them known, and he'll take care of them. So we're doing those types of steps. So I'm so excited about what God's doing now and what he's about to do. So we have I've got more to teach in just a second. But we have a video that I want to show you of this past year. You know, COVID really took a toll on all of us over the years, as far as kind of some transitions and what we're doing. And there's still people that haven't been back to church since, and we miss you. If you're watching online and you still haven't showed back up, we miss you. But I've got to tell you, this may sound harsh as a pastor, but I've got to move on. I miss you for some. There's a lot of families that didn't come back from COVID, and it breaks my heart. It breaks my heart. We actually lost people from the transition from the theater over into the new building as well. And I miss them as well. But I do want to surround our church. And that's, I got to look at who's here and focus on who's here. So that's why I say, if you're watching online, you haven't been back, come. Because I need to know who's in. All right, who's in the church and what we're doing. I can't keep going COVID. I mean, that was 3 years ago. Because, I mean, that's tough. But we also, as a church, we got a little laxed. I mean, now we have all the reason to be laxed because we built a building during all that time and getting into this building and doing some things. And so in this video, you're going to see we did a lot of fun things this past year, a lot of great ministry moments, and I'm so thankful. But we're ramping up. I looked at Pastor Dave and Pastor Katie a couple weeks ago, and I said, hey, we're ramping up. Let's get 2023. We're going to do some more. We're going to do greater, bigger things. We've been talking to our outreach directors, Justin and Jessica. We want to do more and more and more. But we also need to know that all of us understand that we're on a firm foundation and that we're locked arms together, that when we gather in his name, we're going to do this. There are going to be hard times. There's going to be great times. There's going to be bad times. But guess what? That we understand that we're locked together, that we're here together with one another, for one another, and that we've got each other's back versus this idea of like, times get tough, I'm out. And it's like, what? I thought you had my back. I thought we were in this together. I've seen a lot of people come and go in churches, a lot of people. And it's hard, and it's really hard because, again, it goes back to why we're here. We're not here to build man things. We're here to build God things, God kingdom-sized things. And he wants all of us to be together, not just some of us, all of us. Fivefold ministry. He wants all of us to be a part of this. So it's important that we are all locked in. So I want us to watch this video in reflection of what took place this past year, but I want us to know that we've got more to come and double, triple, and everything coming up in the next year. So let's play that video.
Hey, Charlotte Church, I am super thrilled to show you our newest adventure here at Charlotte Church. This is something that's been a long time coming, and this is our outreach space.
You know, I started off with Matthew 18, 19 through 20. It says, I also tell you this, if two of you agree here on earth concerning anything you ask, my Father in heaven will do it for you. For where two or three gather together as my followers, I am there among them. You know, as I said earlier, knowing that Jesus is building this his church and he's looking for people to hook up, I feel like it's something that as a mandate for all of us, that we need to realize that Jesus, he's doing something. And it's like, hey, we probably should take this more seriously, that we need to hook up and to say, hey, what's the church doing? And what's the Great Commission? And how is it that we can be in more in agreement? And I believe for us as a church, I'd like for us to commit to pray for these things. And one of them is a commitment to our communities. As I mentioned earlier, to maybe come up with your own phrase, but for me, every day, I want to have the phrase in my head of like, I should invite someone to church today. That every day should be a day that I should be focused on, hey, you need a community of believers. Do you have a church you go to? Hey, I got a church that you need to be at. And to commit to saying that and to committing, a commitment to say, I actually care for the needs of people, and I know that this is a need that needs to be met, and it can be here at Trailhead. And the second thing I want us to pray for is the evangelistic side of the Great Commission. knowing that in salvations that we want to see people grow in their faith. So having the evangelistic side of what we're doing, of I want to minister the gospel to people everywhere I am, you as individuals should have that all the time in your focus. Of I want to minister the gospel of Jesus Christ to people. I want to see them get saved. And then in through their salvation, they're going to see a greater measure of faith, just increase of their presence with him, their relationship with him. Because again, I believe wholeheartedly that when we take care of our depth, he'll take care of our width. It's really important. That third thing I want us to be praying for is that deeper commitment to the church. For all of us, that deeper commitment to say, hey, how can I see the church grow? How can I help see this? Maybe it's through ushering, it's greeting, maybe it's through children's church, maybe it's on the worship team, maybe it's helping in our classrooms when we teach and discipleship, maybe it's in our hospitality, in our outreach, whatever we're doing, in our everywhere, every area of ministry within this church, there's so much that's going on, but that greater commitment to say, hey, you know what? I want to be an instrument for noble purpose. I want God to see the increase of in my life, of my commitment towards what he's building, of what he's doing. So be praying for a deeper commitment to church. That fourth thing I want us to be doing is that expansion, the prayer of expansion of Trailhead, the further of reaching. When we say from the mountains to the sea, that's what we really mean this. That we want to reach people from the mountains to the sea. So we're praying about expanding that reach of setting more trailheads in different communities and raising up those individuals to go out. We don't want to be a stagnant church. We want to be a church that's growing and that we're sending people out. So that's another area of prayer. And my last area of prayer is that we are a generational church. That we are a true generational church, that every, and I say generational, it means everything, gender to race, every encompassing title that you want to throw in there, a generational church, and that we are that church, that we are discipling, we're committed to believers, to equip them, our brothers and our sisters, that we realize that, hey, we're in this, and that we're committed to this, that we want to see you grow, and it's, here's a really important statement to say, is to grow past your circumstance. Some people get stuck on a circumstance. I want you to grow past your circumstance to realize that your God is not a circumstance. We put human definitions to the circumstance of what God's doing. That's our relationship. Jesus is your circumstance. No. That's not it. So through discipleship, we move past the circumstantial side of things of like, it's a circumstance. No. It's past that. It's a full relationship with him. And that's what I want us to move to, that we as a church are committed to being generational, but not only generational, but be a full equipping of, it's past the circumstance, that God's beyond the circumstance. He's told us what to do with the equipping. It's being the body of Christ, putting on the body of armor, fivefold ministry, our prayer life, how we walk, morality, all those things. That's a part of the circumstance, our prayer walk circumstance. But our relationship is different than our circumstance. And our relationship with him is what we want to see grow. That it's I'm spending time with him and I'm growing with him and I'm a vessel, that vessel of his anointing to overflow, that man, you see beyond your understanding to his understanding of what's happening and you go, oh, I want to be committed to this. I want to be committed to what God's doing, because when I get committed to him, boundaries are taken away. The notion of what you thought could happen goes beyond to another level where you go, man, only God. It becomes more and more of real. Or you go, oh, God is so good. He's so real. So I want us as a church to step out in faith and to know when we step out, God meets us with that firm foundation. That when we do take care of that depth in our relationship by having that intimate and thriving relationship with Jesus Christ, he really does take care of the width of our ministries. That he takes care of those reaches and you go, man, only him. but you understand a fullness of grace and mercy. You understand that fullness. You go, ooh, I really know God's grace and his mercy. Because only through him was that possible. That's what's important. So I want us as a church to commit to this. I want us to realize that it's not just the idea that we put a label. This is Trailhead Church. Yeah, we named it a name because why? Because you have to find something how to get here. You know, that's it. It goes beyond a name. We're just a group of people that are like-minded. You know, if it wasn't a cult thing to do, I would have TJ come down here and set up his tattoo booth and we'd all get tattoos that says, I'm a whosoever on our backs. You know? Only some of you guys get this, but it's not a physical thing. That's what I was trying to say. By having TJ come down and do tattoos for everybody, it's not a physical thing. Same thing with Trailhead, it's not a physical thing. But yet it is, but it's not. It's a spiritual thing. We're coming together being like-minded to do the Great Commission. That's what it's all about. That's why people get hurt and they focus on the physical aspect of church and they get hurt. They get disappointed and they don't want to come back and they go, church is the worst. And it's like, oh, Jesus, that's not what it's about. It's about a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's it. It's period. That's what it's about. And so that's what I want us to focus on. So when we begin to pray, it's not about growing Trailhead, okay? Not once did I say Trailhead in these prayers. See, a lot of people, I choose my words wisely. I'm not talking about Trailhead. I said the church. I want to invite people to church. I want us to invite people to church. We need to be the church. You're the church. You're the church. You need to invite people into your homes. You need to love on people. We need to be there for one another. We need to help. We need to lock arms with one another. The enemy's real. The enemy wants to fight us. He wants to fight us. So we need to stay focused on what we're doing as a church. So I want us all to come in agreement. So we're going to pray, and then Pastor Dave's going to come up and dismiss. But we're going to pray. And if you have a need this morning outside of whatever else there is in life, then, hey, right at my left, your right, we have a prayer room, and that's where you can go, okay? We have beautiful workers that are going to be in there. They'll love to meet with you. If you don't know who Jesus Christ is and you want to make him Lord and personal Savior over your life, make this happen today. It changes everything. That's why we're doing what we do. Is by that relationship with Jesus Christ. Make that commitment. If you don't have a Bible, we got a Bible. If you're like, man, I can't understand this thing, we got people who will help you and to guide you and to follow along with you and to say, hey, if you have problems in your marriage, we've got marriage mentors. We've got things going on in life here at this church. We want to come alongside you, build your marriage up, build who you are in Christ Jesus. We are here for you because we serve a wonderful God. A wonderful, wonderful God, the only God. So I want us to be focused that as a church that we're committed. So I want to pray that prayer. Let's do this. Lord, we thank you that this house, we are a house that's committed to you. God, that we are a church, Lord, that's committed to you. God, that we are not a church, Lord, that's here for man-made traditions. God, that we are a church that's committed to see our communities introduced to Jesus Christ. Lord, that we are a church that evangelizes. Lord, that we want to see salvations. Lord, we want to see a greater growth and measure in our faith. God, we want to see a deeper commitment to the church. Lord, all across our county, to all the churches in this county, a greater, deeper commitment to church. God, we want to see our expansion, Lord, into our communities, Lord, to be able to reach others, Lord, to reach and teach more people, to send people out from this body right here, Lord, to see people come to know who they are in Christ Jesus. Lord, we thank you that this church is a generational church. God, that we are a generational church, Lord, that we receive people for who they are, but Lord, we know the transformational power. God, of what you can do. And so, Lord, we thank you for this, Lord, that we see an increase in discipleship, committed believers who equip our brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you've called us out to such a time as this, Lord, to do your will. And Lord, we give you honor. Lord, we give you praise. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.